It's out of time.
That's all I think. All right. He said before the election he was going out of town. All right. So we are holding on Ein Aleph, Omid Aleph. Ein Aleph, Omid Aleph. That's 15 lines from the bottom line. We can then read the up. Okay. We're in the middle of discussing that we said yesterday the Gemara had brought an opinion that the whole concept of Venser or murder is never something that ever could happen, never will happen, either because according to the Yehuda it requires something that's almost a physical impossibility that the husband and wife should both be the same height and voice and everything, or because we're learning Torah now, please. Either that, or because Rav Shimon says, practically speaking, how would you ever have parents that would take their kid to Beis Din for such a thing, for stealing a little money and eating meat and wine? So that brought us into the discussion of another thing, Irani Dachas, did that ever happen or not? So now we have a third one. Keman Ozla Hodatanya, who does it go like this? What we learn in a Braisa. The concept of a house that has Tzaraas never was, never will actually be. Again, v'lama nichtav derosh v'kabel schar. So why is it written? In order that you should darshan it, a house that has tzaraas. We know, according to this opinion. Why is that? We'll see in a second. Again, derosh v'kabel schar. The reason, the Torah gives us the concept, is that we should darshan it and receive schar. Meaning, again, you know, we learn important things from it. We learn the concept, for example, what happens to a person who's stingy, where they end up having to empty out their house, and everybody sees what they really have and why they, you know, you weren't willing to lend anybody anything because you claimed you didn't have it. Now it's spread out in public and everybody can see it. We see from it the fact that the Torah is concerned even about the cheap possessions of a yid, because it actually mentions on the pasuk the only thing, if you leave the furniture and whatnot in the house when it's declared tameh, the only thing that would become irrevocably tameh and you couldn't do anything with it would be earthenware kaling, which are pretty cheap. And yet the Torah tells you empty out the house first. So you learn those kinds of things from it and other things. Keman, so who is that like? Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. That goes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. The opinion that says that it never happened and never will happen. Namely, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, lo'olam in a bayis tamei, the house can never become tamei efor tzaraas, ad shiroh k'shtei grisin al shtei avonim, unless you have the spot of tzaraas is the size of two grisin. A gris is a bean. We use it in Hilchos Nidah, we use it in various other places. There's different opinions how large it is. The Alter Rebbe's opinion in connection with Hilchos Nidah seems to be that it's about the size of a dime. So two grisin would be twice that. Al shtei avonim, it has to be on two stones, a gris on each stone. B'shteik solim, those two stones dafka have to be on two walls. B'keren zavis, on a corner of the house, so one here and one here. It dafka has to be, no, not if it's anywhere else on the walls. Orke k'shnei grisin, b'roch b'ke gris. The length has to be at least two grisin, and the width has to be at least a gris. So each stone has on it a gris by gris, has one square gris of area of tzaraas. So that kind of thing, that it should happen dafka there in the corner on two stones, is so unusual that it's not going to happen. Okay, my time is the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. What's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's reason? Why does he say such a thing? The answer is k'siv kir v'k'siv kir. Because you have two different psukim over there in connection with tzaraas. One says that it appears on the wall, min hakir. Other psukim say that another pasuk says that it appears v'kir rois habayis, on the walls, plural. So, Ezehu Kirushu Kakira, so what does it mean? Is it one, what is one wall, which is like two heavy emes akeren zavis, you must say, of necessity, that it means a corner. So the other Chachamim disagree with that. They agree with some of the things. They agree it has to be two grisin, they agree there have to be two stones involved, but they don't hold that it has to be on two different walls.
Two different bricks?
One on one wall and one on the other. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, realistically, it's not going to happen.
Not a corner.
Right, but the other Chachamim don't hold that it has to be a corner, right. Tanya, on the other hand, we learn in a braisa, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, Makom Haya B'Tchum Aza, there was a certain place in the vicinity of the city of Aza, where the V'Hayu Koyonet Chuvos Sdirsa, people called this place the ruin which had been locked up. Sdirsa means Mitzora, means Sigira, Sdirsa, whatever, is the Aramaic translation of a Mitzora, because he's locked up, he's quarantined. So therefore, they called this house the ruin that was Mitzora. So therefore, in other words, disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, disagreeing with Tana of this Braisa that said, there was, in fact, he says, such a thing existed. And therefore, people still saw the ruins of it and knew that it was a house that it had Tzaraas and had to be torn down. Amar Rav Shimon ish kvar akri. Also, Rav Shimon from kvar akri says, Pamachas alis alach to the Galil. One time I went to the Galil. Ve'ra'isi makam shematzaynino. He said, I saw a certain place that was marked to be careful that nobody should overshadow it with their body or their hand or whatever. Ve'omru avonim menugois pinu l'sham. And they explain, why is that? Because they had cleared away their stones from a house that had tzaras. We know that the first thing, one of the early stages in it is you take out the stones that have the tzaras on them, and then you replace them and replaster and whatever, and see if the tzaras comes back. Those stones are metame ba'oil. If you overshadow them, then you become tamei, just as if they were a mess. So therefore, they mark this area. If you yourself become an oil over them, or they become an oil over you, then or you're under the same oil with them, you'll become tamei like a mess. So therefore, they mark this area so people should stay away. So there's another example where you have a house that actually developed tzaras and they had to take out the stones from it. So it's not just a theoretical thing. We see there were at least two examples of it. Okay. I mean, aside from which, of course, Rashi says the famous thing that the Canaanim hid their treasures in the walls, and then people would have to tear down their houses because of tzaras, and they discover the treasures. So yeah, okay. Fine. Mishnah continues now, still on the topic of Ben Sora Ramora. What if one of the parents is an amputee? He has their hand amputated. Or one of them is lame. Ilim, or mute. Suma, or deaf. Or blind. Or deaf. Any of those things ain't enough a ben sora remota. In all those cases, what we're going to see, because there's a pasuk, the child can't become a ben sora remota. Shenema, and we learn this because the pasuk says as follows. So you have a pasuk there in connection with Ben Sora Ramur that says like this: with softu by avavimai, his father and mother should grab a hold of him. By tiu oisai, they bring him out al zikne irav al shamakomei, out to the skenim, to the gate of the city, which is where the batidinim would sit. But amru al zikne irav, they speak to the skenim. They say, Bnenu zeh Sora Ramur, this son of ours is rebellious and uncooperative. Einenu shemei b'kelenu, he's not listening to our voice. Zol v'sovei, he's a glutton and a drunkard. And then they take them and give him skila. So we learn from those sukkim as follows. Shenemar v'sopsubay avavimo. The pasuk says they should grab a hold of him, implying v'lo gidmin, so they can't be amputees, because they have to have a hand to be able to grab him with. Both of them, it has to be that. Both of them have hands. They should take them out, implies that they're not lame. They're able to walk out to the city gate with him. But Omru v'lo ilmin, the next pasuk continues, they should say to the Beit Din, implying they're not mute. Bnenu zeh v'lo sumin, they say this son of ours, implying that they can see him. That implies they're not blind. And Einenu shemei b'kelenu v'lo chershin, they say he doesn't listen to our voice, implying that they're not deaf. Why is that? So Rashi says like this: if they're deaf, so if they tell him off, if they tell him, what are you doing? You need to stop doing this.
They have to hear that he says,
I don't accept it. Right, that's it. The point is, Rashi says, you would think, maybe you shouldn't need that. Maybe they're telling him, stop this stealing, stop this eating this meat and wine with your gang of friends or whatever. If they see him continuing to do that, doesn't that show he's not listening to them? No, Rashi says, the point is, you could find an excuse for him in Beis Din. You could say, they're saying, you could argue, therefore, okay, at the time he agreed, yes, Patsy, mommy, I won't do this anymore, but then he turns around and do it, and does it. So they can't fully say, unless they can actually hear him saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you. That's the point. They have to be able to hear him say no. And the Yad Ramah understands a little differently. He says the verdict is that it has to be that each of them is saying he's not listening to the other one. He's not listening to the other one speaking to him. So the father says he's not listening to what my wife says. He's not listening to what the mother says to him, and vice versa. That means they have to hear each other speaking to him. Yeah. No, it means they have to hear each other speaking to him.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, the Meiri says a logical reason. I mean, ultimately it's Xeris Akasa, but the Meiri says a logical reason. People who have these handicaps are likely to be not as easygoing with their kids. They're likely to be much harsher with him, and therefore maybe if he's going off the derech, maybe. But that's what he says. Therefore, there's a possibility. You can't completely blame it on him, and therefore give him malchus and skila, when after all it might be the fact that his parents aren't giving him the right upbringing. So once, if we have all the criteria, they give him hasra in front of three. Now, why do you need three? You should need only two. We'll see in the Gemara. Now, Rashi actually makes a point over here. We don't mean the regular kind of hasra. because we're not talking about over here the regular kind of hasra. Because after all, you give him hasra. I mean, you don't know whether he's going to be over or not. Rashi understands hasra means like this: he went and stole the money and bought the meat and wine and ate it with his gang of friends, etc. Now what happens is afterwards, after he did that, the pasuk says v'yisroi, so that his parents gave him musav, v'layyem, we're going to see soon, it means malchus, v'layyishma'alayim, and he still doesn't listen to them, implying after he did that the first time, they have to take him to Beis Din and warn him that, you know, what you did is wrong, and you're going to be chayav malchus now, and if you do it again, then you're going to be chayav nisa. So that's, we're not talking about regular hasra that would take place before he ever does the action, says Rashi and also the Yad Ramah. It means we're talking about sort of an after-the-fact hasra. So to warn him what the consequences are if he continues this kind of behavior. The Rambam apparently does not understand it that way. The Rambam understands it as straight out hasra, but the Gemara will explain why in that case why you need three in that case, and you should only need two. Yeah. Okay. Or Malkino, he's saying, then they give him Malkus. Chaz of a kilkel. Then if he does this again, if he does these bad things again, Nidan be'esrim ashloisha. Then he gets judged l'misa, and then of course you need 23 as you usually do. However, you can only give him skila if the three original dayanim are present. The three original dayanim don't necessarily have to be members of the new Beis Din of 23, but at least they have to be present. Because the pasuk says that they say this son, implying this is the same child who previously got malchus, and you're the same boy who previously got malchus in your presence, and now he's doing it again. So the Gemara says shamat mina. So if you're telling me the Mishnah is saying that neither of them can be an amputee or lame, et cetera, because you have to be able to fulfill exactly what it says in the pasuk, shamat mina bar inin kroa kedichtiv. In that case, doesn't this mean that we always have to be able to do a pasuk exactly as written, no substitutions, which we discussed that earlier in the Masechta, in connection with, we had the case over there where Adim were amputees, can the guy be executed? We talked over there in connection with, for example, what else did we have? Bar inin kroa kedichtiv. We had the example over there we brought this example as well, but we gave the answer that the Gemara is going to give over here. But we said, for example, in the case of an ear nidachas, if it doesn't have a city square, what about a mitzvah if he doesn't have an ear, a right ear lobe, or a right thumb, or a right toe? So it's a machlokes whether brain and kroa kedichtiv. From this Mishnah, it seems brain kroa kedichtiv, and therefore, for example, if one of them can't grab a hold of him because they're missing an arm, then they can't. Then he can't be a mitzvah or a murder. What about according to the opinion of in Krokodil? The answer is shiny hocha is different in this case to kula kro yaseru, because the whole pasuk is extra. The whole pasuk is not necessary in context, because all the pasuk has to say is the boy does this, he was scout him, then you take him out to the gate and give him skila. What does it have to mention? The whole thing, that his parents grab a hold of him and they go make the speech to Beis Din. That pasuk therefore is extra, and therefore everybody would agree that it's coming to tell us that Dafka has to be that way. They have to be capable of grabbing him, walking out, giving the speech, etc.
Otherwise,
the Torah didn't need to write those two psukim at all. Then we said umasrim b'fnei shlosha. We said you give him asra in front of three. The question is lovely. What do you need asra in front of three? But today sagya, wouldn't it be enough? You really only need two edim to give him asra, or the edim themselves don't have to. Whatever, somebody else can give him asra in the presence of edim. Amar Abaye, Halcha Kamar. So Abaye says, right, what the Mishnah actually means, Masrin, Rebbe Fnei Shnayim, or Malkinoit Rebbe Fnei Shloisha. It means they give Masra in the presence of two, Edim as usual. The Malkus takes place in a Beis Din of three. You don't need 23 for Malkus. We learned in the first parak about that you only need, that the halacha is you only need three for Malkus. So this is the same kind of thing. When it says Masrin, Rebbe Fnei Shloisha, the Mishnah is kind of condensing two parts of it together. The Asura is in front of two, the Malkus is Edim, the Malkus is in front of three.
Real Malkus?
Real Malkus, yes. I mean, it would be the usual, I don't know if we'll necessarily make him bleed, but it's the usual kind of thing. They, as we'll learn in Masechta Malkus in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that they have ahead of time, they evaluate how many lashes is he going to be able to take and still survive it. And then they round it down to the next multiple of three, if necessary, they round it down to make a multiple of three. And then they do that, yeah. So one explanation, by the way, according to the Rambam that we're talking about over here, that hasra means regular hasra, as in they have to tell them ahead of time, if you do the stealing, you're going to be chayav malchus. The point of it is that it can, that can be done even in the presence of the beis din themselves. Usually we would say ein eid not the dayan, but this time it's not like that. The hasra can even be in the presence of two judging. Right, because it is, it's malchus, but it's only the first stage. It's only the first stage of it. The later on, at the end of this amud, at the two mishnayos from now, we're going to learn that a ben sarer murder is really a unique case in halacha, because usually a person is being punished for what they actually did. Here, we're looking ahead to the future, as we said in the beginning of the parak, ben sarer murder nidan al shem sofo. So therefore, the rules are slightly different.
So if he doesn't repeat,
that's it. He got the malchus, and that's that. He learned his lesson. But
how many did he have, 14?
Maximum is 39, as usual. Maximum is 39, but if he can only take 18, then they only give him 18. If he can only take 13, then they round it down to 12 and give him 12, whatever. Fine. Question is, malchus for ben sarer remota hechet siva. Where does it ever say in the Torah anything that a ben sarer remota gets malchus? Now, you could argue that the ben sarer murder was ben sarer murder was over on loisochu al adam, which we learned a few blocks ago, that loisochu al adam meant, among other things, don't eat like a ben sarer murder. The problem with that is, we learned at the time that was a lav shebechlolos. There were five or six dinim included in that pasuk, and included in that one line, loisochu al adam, don't eat from the animal before the blood has been sprinkled on the mizbeach, and don't eat from the animal after it's shechted while it's still convulsively moving around, and the beis din that judges somebody is not allowed to eat that day, etc., etc. So it's a lav shebechlolos, and he said, hey, you don't get malchus for a lav shebechlolos. So we have to have a different source for that the ben sarer murder should get malchus.
A lav you would, not a lav shebechlolos.
A regular lav you would, but only a lav that says individually. It's one pasuk that includes multiple different things. Yeah. The answer is Kedir Rabba Bohu. The reason why we give a malchus is based on what Rabba Bohu said.
No.
Rabba Bohu is going to explain that we can learn from a word in connection with the ben sarer murder. We're going to learn the concept of malchus. Lamadnu v'yisra. Now, the context in which Rabba Bohu says it is in the case of Moitzi Shemra, the case that we learned about in Ksuvos a couple of years back. You have the case where the husband claims that his wife was Mizana during the Eirusin, where if it turns out that it's true, we learned about it briefly at the beginning of Amos Esther as well, if it turns out that it's true, she's going to be Chayiv Misa. If it turns out that it's not true, then we give him Malchus and he also has to pay her a fine. So now, there also, the pasuk doesn't spell out in so many words that he gets Malchus. How do we know that? So Rabba Bohu says, Lamanu v'yisru m'v'yisru. We can learn one word v'yisru that it says by the ben sarer, by the Moitzi Shemra. We can learn what that means from the word v'yisru that it says by the ben sarer murder, and in turn v'yisru mi ben. In turn, how do we know what v'yisru means by the ben sarer murder? We learn it that it's in conjunction with the word ben. It's ben sarer murder. Uben mi ben. We learn the ben over here from ben, namely v'hoya im bin hakoyis harasha. The pasuk says if a person is chayev malchus, then they throw him down on the floor, they bend him down, whatever, and they give him malchus. So we see bin hakoyis harasha. So the word bin, ben, whatever, means somebody who's chayev malchus. Therefore, we learn from that to the ben sarer murder. Therefore, when the pasuk says v'yisru by the ben sarer murder, it means he gets malchus. And therefore, by the Moitzi Shemra, it also means the Yisroitz, it also means that he gets malchus. So that's how we know that the ben sarer murder gets malchus.
Just from the word.
Just from the word. Well, from the word ben in conjunction with the word v'yisru. Yeah. Okay. Then we said chazav akilkel nidin mechabdim al. We said if the boy messes up again, he does this thing again, then he gets judged by 23 and given skila. And we said in the Mishnah that the original three dayanim have to be present, otherwise he can't be given skila, because the b'neinu zeh. Question is, hayim ibar lezeh v'lo yisumin. We just use the word zeh to mean that they can't be blind, because they have to be able to say, this is our son. So how can you use the word zeh for two different drushas? The answer is, im ken lichtiv b'neinu hu. Fine, but if all the Torah meant to imply is they can't be blind, then it could have said b'neinu hu. He is our son. To learn the concept that you need the three people, the original three dayanim there, it could have said b'neinu hu. He is the one. He is the same one who got malchus in your presence before. My zeh, but my b'neinu zeh. Why instead does it say b'neinu zeh, implying that they themselves can point at him, marabet zvoi v'oimer zeh? That implies that. We see shamav mina parati, so therefore you can learn both from it. The fact that it says who doesn't mean that he could be absent, but it means they don't have to necessarily see him.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's absent,
or they don't see it. Right, right. So like this, if it says any kind of word at all, it says b'neinu, anything, then it means that the original dayanim have to be there. When it says b'neinu zeh, it means not only they have to be there, but also another din, they themselves have to be able to see them. Point. Mishnah says, Baruch Hachal Enigma Dinah, what happens? Now, we learned at the beginning of the parak, the first Mishnah of our parak, we learned that the Ben Sarah Murda can only, the boy can only become a Ben Sarah Murda during the time from when he develops Shtei Sirus until Hikif Zaka, until the whole area is surrounded, until the whole did is surrounded by him. What happens, Baruch Hachal Enigma Dinah, what happens then if he ran away before the case was decided, V'achaka Hikif Zaka Natachten, and then later on enough hair developed, where
the case was...
So in other words, he did the whole thing. He stole the meat, he stole the money, ate the meat and wine, he did the whole nine yards, they gave him Malkus, and now he did it the second time. Now, during the time when Beis Din is judging him, he runs away. Okay. And then they only catch him, later on he developed Zakan Atachten, and now they
when
catch
he runs
him.
Away, he didn't.
He did, right. Potter, at this point...
How can he be chal before?
That's the point, in other words, okay. Let's take an actual case. The kid's birthday is Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Sometime between, so he has Tishrei, Cheshvan, and Kislev, or the 3 months, during until Hikiv Zaken.
Yes, two years.
Fine. So he develops Shtei Sirus on Rosh Hashanah. Sometime during Tishrei, he does the first time, they take him to Beis Din, they give him Malkus. Sometime during Cheshvan, he does it the second time, now he's going to be brought to Beis Din, and if he's found guilty, if they have proper edus and whatever against him, he's going to be executed. Meanwhile, during that time, he runs away. When do they catch him? In Tavis. And by Tavis, he already has Hikiv Zaka. Then Potter. Then he is Potter because had he done it now, he wouldn't be Chayiv Nisa because he's already passed the time. He's already outside the zone. So therefore, the fact that he ran away before Nigma Dinah prevents us from executing him.
But he did the thing.
He did the thing while he was still before Hikiv Zaka. But nevertheless, the fact that we only caught him and are going to continue the case, we can't judge him Lemissa now for something that he's not Chayiv Missa for now. Now, when Hikiv Zakan, he wouldn't be Chayiv Missa.
How do you know? I mean, it's circular logic. Where do you derive that? Was it he had to be before Zakan by the fact or by the...
Rashi says, Kivin de'ilu ovad hashta, since if he were to do this thing now, he were to steal the money and eat the meat, etc. now, if he were to do it now, lav baktolahu, he would not be chayiv misa for it, because he's already out. But the fact, therefore, we can't judge him now. We can, in his new status, he's considered to be almost like a new person. He's considered to have a new status, and therefore you can't judge him for the old thing. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, v'im mishenigma dini barach, what if after the Gemar Din, then he ran away? Now, once the Gemar Din is done, at that point, he's considered a dead man already. Now, we don't need to look for any kind of schutz for him. Therefore, v'achak ha'chik v'zakan ha'tachten, later on, he develops zakan ha'tachten, chayev, he'll still be chayev misa, because the Gemar Din has to take place while he's before hikiv zakan ha'tachten. And by the way, the Rambam says it's not just when you say Hikiv Zaken Atachten, it's even the guy hides out for 50 years and they finally find him. He's still, the fact is, they convicted him 50 years ago. That's good enough. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to talk about a related concept, which
I'm not sure where you take that Beis Din has to be.
Because Beis Din is obligated to try and find a schutz for him. When it comes to Gemar Din, if they haven't done the Gemar Din before Hikiv Zaken Atachten, then when it comes now for them to judge the case, they have to think to themselves, yes, but if he were to do this action now, he would not be Chayiv Misa. Therefore, we can't judge him now for something that he did in the past when he had a different status, when he was in a different status, namely not yet Hikiv Zaken.
Cannot judge him now because...
Because before he had a different status. Because now he has a different status than he had before, which the Gemara is now going to talk about a related concept in connection with a gift. Amr Rav Chanina, Ben Noach Sheberech Has Hashem, if a Ben Noach curses the Eibishter, V'achakach Nisgayer, and then later on he converts and becomes a Yid. The Pashtos, yes. Potter, so he's Potter from Misa. Why? Ho'o v'nishtana dinoi, v'nishtana or v'nishtanis misotze, because the din is different, namely the rules of judging a Ben Noach, as we learned before in the Sugya of the mitzvah of Ben Noach. We said a Ben Noach can be judged even if there's only one aid against him, even if there's only one dayan on the Beis Din, and no hatzara lo'an. He could be convicted as a Ben Noach for cursing the Eibishter if there's one aid, that one aid can come in front of one dayan. No hasra is needed because as harosan zuyim iskafson, that's with a ben nayach. So that now, as a yid, that rule is different. Now he would need hasra, he'd need a basin of 23, he'd need two aidim. And v'nishtanish misosai, and the misa is different as well. Namely, as a ben noyach, he'd be chayef sayef, he'd get hereg, he'd be beheaded for birkas Hashem. Now, as a yid, if he were to do it now, he would get skila. And he was never chayef in skila before. Therefore, he's potter. Okay, the Gemara says, name a Messiah. Like, can we say that we can support what Rav Chanina is saying on the basis of... on the basis of our Mishnah. By the way, Tosfos points out, don't we always say Gershon is Gareth Kot Mishnah Eladomi? What's the Hava Amina that we should be able to judge him for what he did as a Ben Noach anyway? And we're going to see soon in the Gemara that there are cases where we judge him as a Yid for what he did as a Ben Noach. What happened to Gershon is Gareth Kot Mishnah Eladomi? So Tosfos says that's as far as Dinei Shamayim. You can say Gershon is guy who's Dinei Nefashas, Dinei Adam. When it comes to what's judged by a base in here on earth, then there's other criteria. Okay. So name a Messiah. Can we say that we can support what Rav Chanina is saying on the basis of our Mishnah? We said in our Mishnah, Baruch Hatzal Enigma Dinei. We said if the boy ran away before Gmar Din, Ba'achakachik Zakna Tachton, and then afterwards the Zakna Tachton developed, we say Potter. My Taima Nalachora. Wouldn't it be? Why would the Mishnah be saying he's Potter? Must be the same logic. Lav Mishum Jamin and Haruva Ishtini Ishtini. Lachora. We must say same idea. Now that he changed, now that he has Zakna Tachton, he's in a new state. It's like he's a new kind of person. And therefore, it's different, and therefore, we can't judge him now for what he did before. So, therefore, that would be the same kind of thing as Rav Chanina is saying. Before, the guy was a goy, now he's a yid, and therefore, different rule applies.
He did the Avera when he was in a previous state.
And he did the Avera also now when he was in a previous state, but yeah, doesn't matter. The answer is loy. No, not necessarily can you make that inference, because shiny hocha, the difference is over here, the Ovid Hashta Lav Bartolo, the difference is with the Ben Sora Ramura. If he were to do exactly the same action, stealing the exact same money, and eating the meat and the wine, and so on and so forth, he would not be Chayiv Misa now because he's past Zakana Tachton. Whereas the Ben Noach who became a Ger, if he were to curse the Eivishter now, sure he'd be Chayiv Misa. So you can't necessarily say, fine, the Mishnah is saying he's Potter because not only you have his goof has changed, the very action that he did then wouldn't make him Chayiv Misa now in his new state. As opposed to with the Ben Noach, sure, his status has changed, but the actual action that he would do, Birkas Hashem, would make him Chayiv Misa then, makes him Chayiv Misa now. Not necessarily, should you say, on the basis of our Mishnah, that he should be Potter from Misa.
It's just the opposite case, because before the Ben Sarah Mary, when he changes his status, he relieves himself of punishment.
That's what we're saying.
And here, when he changes his status, becoming a Yid.
Rav Chanina is saying he also relieves him, makes him Potter. So we're trying to say that maybe we can
see that
we just said Ben Noach Birkas Hashem Va'achakach Nisgayo Potter. That's what Rav Chanina is saying. So we're trying to prove that we're trying to prove what Rav Chanina is saying on the basis of our Mishnah. But it's not really the same thing because in our Mishnah you could argue the reason is not the reason why he's Potter is because if he were to do this exact same thing now he would be Potter. As opposed to the Ben Noach who became a Ger, if he were to do this exact same thing now, having become a Yid, he's Chayiv Misa.
Yeah.
So you can't necessarily say that there should not necessarily say that him becoming a ger should pater him from the misa that's still hanging over him when he was a goy. Yeah, but it's not opposite really, but it's different scenarios. It's different cases, so you can't necessarily derive one thing.
In both cases, his status changes. In one case he becomes pater, and the other one he becomes higher.
In both, Rav Chanina is saying he's Potter. The Mishnah is also saying he's Potter. Mm-hmm. But you could argue that not necessarily. You could argue on the basis of our Mishnah, all you would know is if it's a case where if he were to do the exact same thing now, he would be Potter, then fine, he's Potter now. Not necessarily would that prove that if it was something where if he did the exact same thing now, he would be Chayev. There's no question. A Yid that's Mevorach HaShem is Chayev. Lav Davka, we should say on that basis that because his status changed, therefore we should Potter him from that Misa that's still hanging over him from before. That's the difference. You're not following, I guess.
I'm not following. I don't understand the logic. But we're saying that if
okay, a Ben Noach curses the Eivishter, he's Chayiv Misa, right? A Yisroel curses the Eivishter, he's also Chayiv Misa, right? So therefore, on the other hand, a Ben Sora Ramura before Zochan attacked and steals and eats and so forth, before Zochan attacked is Chayiv. After Zakana Tachton, he's Potter.
Right.
Therefore, the Mishnah can be telling us that even if he did the actual action at a time when he was Chayev, but now by the time of Gmar Din he's Potter, then he's in a state, he's in a status where he's Potter, then we should argue fine, he should be Potter. We shouldn't necessarily derive from that that if you have something where before his change of status he was chayev, and were he to do the same thing after the change of status he's also chayev, that we should say the change of status itself makes him potter. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
That's
right.
The point. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Talking about. It's not the same law.
So it's not the same law. That's the point. The Gemara is saying it's not the same. It's not opposites, really, but it's not.
Well.
Okay. Fine. Toshma. In Mishnah Nigma Din Yibarach. Fine. What about the Mishnah continued that if after Gemar Din the boy ran away, and then he developed Zachna Tachten, Chayev, then he's Chayev. So you see, even though his status has changed, before he didn't have Zachna Tachten, and he could have been a Mensura Rabota, now he does, and he can't. Nevertheless, he's still Chayev Nisa. So by the same logic, then we should say that we would say the same logic applies to the Chavidus case. Beforehand, he was Chayiv Nisa for Birkas Hashem. Afterwards, he's also Chayiv Nisa for Birkas Hashem. So therefore, he should remain Chayiv, not Chazir, like the Chavidus is saying.
If he fled
after Gemar Din, then we say he's still Chayiv Nisa, even though he developed Zakanat Tachton, even though he's an old man by now. So shouldn't we argue by the same logic? We should say that no, in the case of the Ben Noach, before when he cursed the Eidishter, before he became a Ger, he would be Chayiv Nisa for that. When he curses after he becomes a Yid, he's also Chayiv Nisa for that. His change of status should not make him Potter, just like the change of status does not make the Ben Sarah Ramona Potter. This was Nigma Dina Kamaris. You're trying to prove a case from Gemar Din. Nigma Dina Gavak Tilahu. Once Gemar Din has happened, he's already considered a dead man walking. Yeah, then you already have. Gemar Din, it makes it that he's liable to be executed. You're trying to compare to a case where he did something that makes him liable to be executed, but he hasn't yet. In other words, there's a difference between whether you're guilty and whether you're convicted. The Ben Noach Baruch Hashem is guilty, but he hasn't yet been convicted of it. The Ben Sarah Rabbah, Nigma Dina, is already not only guilty, but he's convicted. That's different. Okay, Toshma, Ben Noach Shehikes Chaver, right? Another Braita says, if a Ben Noach hit, meaning killed, somebody else, where, again, as a goy, he's already Chayiv Nisa, or Baal Eishes Chaver, right? Or, for example, he was Mizana with somebody else's wife, which, again, makes him Chayiv Nisa, as we learned before, Benis Gayer, and then he becomes a Ger, Potter. Then we say he's Potter. Also, Cain be Yisrael. On the other hand, if he had done these things as a goy, li Yisrael, he had done them to a yid, he killed a yid, or he was a mizana with a Jewish woman, a married Jewish woman, then he would be, then he's chayev even after his gayus. The reason is, Rashi says, the logic of it is like this. The logic of it is, if a yid were to kill a ben noyah, then he's not chayev nisa. If a yid were to be mizana with a goy's wife, he's not chayev nisa. Okay, Kanoim Pogim Boy, maybe that's another matter, but whatever. There's no official Chiyuv Mitzvah for it. On the other hand, a Yid is Mizana with another Yid's wife, then he's Chayiv Mitzvah. A Yid kills another Yid, Chayiv Mitzvah. Therefore, the logic is, if the Goy did something, if this person did something as a Goy, which, were he to have already been a Yid at the time, he would be Chayiv Mitzvah, then even now, when he's a Yid, it doesn't change. But if he did something which, as a Yid, he would be Potter, namely, killing a Goy or being Mizana with an Eishes Ish of a Goy, and now he becomes a Yid, so now he's in a status where if he did these things, he would be Potter, therefore he's Potter.
As a goy, he kills. And then
right.
He becomes a
yid. Right. And so as a goy, he kills another goy.
Right.
Now he becomes a yid. The Braita is saying that he's Potter. But on the other hand, the Braita is saying that if he were to kill a yid while he was still a goy, and then he became a ger, then he would be chayav.
Right.
Now that's different than what Rav Chanina is saying. Rav Chanina is talking about the case of Birkas Hashem. Where a goy is chayav misa for it, and a yid is chayav misa for it, there's no difference. And yet, Rav Chanina is saying his change of status makes him potter. From this braita, it comes out that not. Only the only case where he chayav misa is where the change of status brings a difference in halacha, where it makes that the action that if he were to do the action now, he wouldn't be chayav. Similar to the ben sora remoto of our mission. So v'amai, why are we saying that if he did it to a yid and then he became a ger, he should be chayav? Name a hayov ishtini ishtini. Shouldn't we say, as we said before, that once he changed, once his status changed, the din changes? And yet we don't say that. The answer is dinoim is sosig. The difference is that in order for him to be potter, it has to be that first of all the din, namely the requirements that you need in order to be able to judge him. Again, for a ben noyach, all you need is one aid and one dayan and no hasra. For a yid, you need two aid and 23 dayanim and hasra. So that has to be different, and which taka it is between a yid and a goy. But also, we also need that the misa should be different. Namely, So what happens? The missa for the so what is it there for missa for a for Mevorach HaShem for Ben Noach? It's going to be for Ben Noach. It's going to be Hereg Sayef, because it always is for Ben Noach. For Yid who's Mevorach HaShem, it's going to be Chenek. Sorry, it's going to be Skila, rather Skila. So therefore, it's a different. Din and a different missa. Therefore, Rav Chanina says it's possible. In this case, Vahai, in this case of a year, if he killed a yid,
because
or he was,
it's a different missa, it's possible.
Because it's a different din and a different missa, therefore that makes it a whole new status. It's like a whole new person.
If it was a din and a
same. If it was a different, there's always going to be a difference in din,
right?
Because you always have that. Then you only need one aid and one dayan, etc. Is there going to be a difference as far as missa? When it comes to Mevorach HaShem, there is, because one is Hereg and the other is Skila. When it comes to killing another person, we're Tzayef either way. Or when it comes to Eishes Ish, which we're going to discuss in a second, then the Missa is the same in both cases, and then therefore, so the Missa has still remained the same. Therefore, you can't say it's a complete difference. Okay.
Therefore,
we would say he's still Chayef. Therefore, we can still apply. The same Missa that would have applied to him as a Ben Noach is going to apply to him as a Yid. So the question is, Bishleim Ritzeach, I can understand by Ritzeach how it's still the same Misa, Meikr Sayef, Asha Sayef. A Goy who kills a Yid, or a Goy who kills another Goy for that matter, is Chayef Sayef, it's Hereg. A Yid who kills another Yid is also Chayef Sayef. So yes, it is exactly the same. There is no change in the Misa. Ela Eishes Ish, but with the Eishes Ish, how is it the same? Meikr Sayef, Asha Chenech. Originally, as a Goy to be Mizana with an Eishes Ish, he would be Chayef Sayef. Now, as a Yid, if he were to do that, he's Chayef Chenech, different Misa. The answer is B'nai Ramah Rosa, the Aydi V'Aydi V'Skila. Yes, but we're not talking about a regular Eishes Ish. We're talking about he was Mizana with a Nai Ramah Rosa. No, relax. He came in here a second ago. So the point is, one second. Nai Ramah Rosa, the Aydi V'Aydi V'Skila. Either way, there is Skila. Namely, we learned before in the Sugya of Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, we said like this. By Goyim, there's no such thing as Naira Marosa. By Goyim, a woman only becomes a married woman after she and her husband first have relations. No such thing as Kiddushin, no such thing as Kofa, no nothing. Bol of Baal. So the whole concept of Naira Marosa only applies among Jews. So if we said over there, therefore, that if a Goy were to be Mizana with a Jewish Naira Marosa, he would be Chayv Skila. Because then we can't say, because then the whole concept doesn't apply to Goyim. So then we treat him in that sense like a Yid. A Yid is Mizana with a Naira Marosa, he gets Skila. Same thing with a Goy. New, as a Goy, he would have gotten Skila. As a Yid, if he were to do the same thing, he's also Chayef Skila. There you go. It's a difference in Din, but the same punishment. That would be the same as Reb Chanina is talking about. So therefore, that works. The problem is, but that can't be, because the Braita said, if he did the same thing, What did the Braisa say? Baal Eishes Chaveroi versus also can be Yisrael. The Braisa said, if the only difference is whether he did it to another Goy's wife, with another Goy's wife, or whether he did it with a Yid's wife. Implying that's the only difference, that it's a Goita or a Jewish woman. Implying there's no other difference. So it can't be Naira Mairosa. Again, there's no such thing as Naira Mairosa.
It cannot be different because
the Braisa is saying, the Braisa is juxtaposing them. The Braisa is saying that you have something where if he was Mizana with a Goyish woman and became a Ger, he'll now be Potter, because such a thing is not Chayiv Misa by a Yid. But if he did it to a Jewish woman, he'd be Chayiv Misa, implying that's the only difference, whether it's a Goyish woman or a Jewish woman.
Therefore,
it can't be Naira Mairosa, which can't be Naira Mairosa, which doesn't. Yeah, exactly. No, so we can't answer that way. Ella, Kala b'chamura meshach shaycha. No, rather we have to give a different answer. The lesser punishment is included in the harsher punishment. Namely, in other words, like this. What do we mean when we say this concept that we said before, that it has to be, in order for him to be potter, it has to be nishtana dinay and nishtana misosay? Nishtana misosay means it can't be that the punishment that he would get for doing this now as a yid is going to be more severe than the one he would have gotten as a ben noach. But it could be less severe, because that's included in the more severe one. So when it comes to Beirach HaShem, Rav Chanina's case, it could be the same, obviously. So when it comes to Beirach HaShem, Rav Chanina's case, before it would have been Hereg, now he goes up two levels to Skila, we say we can't do that. As a Ben Noach, it's more than Hereg, it's more than Sayyid. As a Ben Noach, he would have only gotten Sayyid. You can't now upgrade him once he became a Yid to Skila. So therefore, he's Potter.
It's as far up.
Yes, it's as far up. So therefore, so that's it. So that's it. On the other
he's
So therefore, he's potter. On the other hand, when it comes to the cases of Abraisa, if he killed a yid, fine, it's the same punishment, saif in both cases. If he was mezana with a regular eishes ish, forget about naira marasa. He's mezana with a regular eishes ish. As a goy, he would be chayef saif for it. As a yid, if he does the same thing, he's chayef chenek. Chenek is less than saif. Therefore, you can say the misa that was appropriate for him as a ben noyach, no, but even though it's not the same, but saif is harsher than chenek, as we established before, according to the chachamim. Therefore, the fact that he was on the hook before for a misa of saif, we can now say, we can include in that the fact that he's going to get chenek instead. We can say that the within the saif there was chenek, and therefore we're still able to give him chenek. We're not saying you can't upgrade him. What we're saying, you can downgrade
him. Low, you can, but not
high. But not high, right. Okay. Problem is, that works out according to the Chachamim who say that Sayyid is the most is the harsher punishment.
Right.
But according to Reb Shimon, who says that Chenek is the more stringent one, then what are you going to say? The answer is Reb Shimon Sovala Katana Devei Menashe. The answer is Reb Shimon can hold like Tana Devei Menashe that we learned in the Sugya of Shevim Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Dama Kol Misa Amur Lo Bnei Noach Ein Ela Chenek. He disagrees. He says not the standard misa for Bnei Noach is Sayyid. The standard misa for them is Chenek. Well, then.
Is what again?
Strangulation. We said over there, Nevei Menashe learned it from Shofech Dama Adam Ba'adam, the blood still remains within him. So therefore, so then fine. Before, as a goy, he was mezana with an Eishes Ish of a Yid, he's Chayv Chenek. Or for that matter, if it was an Eishes Ish of a goy. As a Yid, now that he became a ger, the punishment for that would still be chenek, so we're not going up or down, we're still on the same level, and therefore, even though nishtana dino, it's not nishtana misalta, and therefore we can be chayev. Yeah. Well, so either way, we made it work. According to Reb Shimon, he would get chenek. According to the Chachamim, he'll also get chenek, but for different reasons. The Chachamim will say it's downgrading him from his original sayif. Reb Shimon will say it's the exact same punishment he would have gotten had he remained a goy. Fine, in that case, then we have to ask about the case of Ritzvah. Bishlema Eishatish Me'ikra Chenek Rashta Chenek. Fine, if you're going to understand it, like if you're going to say what Reb Shimon is going to hold, then you have the opposite problem. When it comes to an Eishatish, sure, before he would have gotten Chenek, now with a Yid, he's also on the hook for Chenek, so therefore that's it, Chenek. Ela Ritzvah Me'ikra Chenek Rashta Saif. What about the Ritzvah? Originally, as a Goy, he should have gotten Chenek. Now you're telling me he's going to be Chayef Saif. Which Saif is lesser than Chenek?
Yeah,
according to Reb Shimon. And the answer is fine. Talav Chabura, Meshach Shaycha. Fine, Reb Shimon will say that as a Ritzeach, he gets downgraded. So it still works. Okay. Fine. So far, we haven't had any reason to disprove what Reb Chanina says. We tried to prove him from our Mishnah. We couldn't, but we also can't disprove him from our Mishnah or from this Braisa about the Ben Noach Shehika as Chaveret. Because you could say, so far the rule would be that if Mishtana Misosoy, then he's potter. If not Mishtana Misosoy, and not Mishtana Misosoy can also include it, the lesser punishment, then we would say he still gets it. Okay, Lema Messiah, fine. Can we say, though, going back to the Chanina's original point, can we say that we can support him from the following Braisa? Or a Mishnah, actually, in Ksubas. It talks over there about the case of a Naira Amayrosa, who, again, if she's Mizana as a Naira, she's Chayef Stila. If she's Mizana later on, after she becomes a Begeret, she's only going to be Chayef Chenek, like a regular Eishes Ish. So what happens? The Mishnah says over there, Sarcha V'Achakach Bagra, if she did wrong, she was Mizana, and before Gmar Din, she became a Begeret, Tidin B'Chenek, then she gets judged by Chenek, which is the punishment that she would get had she done it now as a Begeret. The skill of my time alone, Alachora, why is it she doesn't get the skill? Lav Mishum Dehayova Ishtin Ishtin. It must be because the reason is once her goof changed, and therefore that changes her status, then therefore the Misa changes. So again, Kala Bachamura Meshach Shaycha, so you can't take her completely out of Misa. You can say Chenek is included in skill, so therefore you can give her Chenek. But over here, in Reb Chanina's case, Since it would have to be an upgrade, he'd have to be going from Saif up to Skila, from Mevorach Hashem, then he would pass to him. So therefore, that seems to be a proof for Reb Chanina. V'chol shekin hachad ishtin legamri. How much more so than in this case, where it's a complete shinui, where his status has changed because before he's a goy and now he's a yid, and the misa is a harsher misa, and you don't give it. Then you should say you don't give it to him. However, you can't necessarily prove that, though, because Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tanna, who repeated Mishnayos and Braises in his yeshiva, Tony, you should actually learn Tiden B'Skila, that no, actually she does get the same skila she would have originally. That even though her goof changed and her status changed, you still give her the original Misa, that because she did the action at the time when she was a Naira. So therefore, so if we say it that way, then that would be different than what Rav Chanina is saying, because according to then we would have to say that according to Rav Chanina, you would at least give him the original punishment. You'd at least give him sight, whereas he's saying you're positive completely. So therefore, you can, again,
that she's getting
skila, according to Rav Yochanan,
which is
the same punishment she got as a Naira. So therefore, you can't. So therefore, that's it. You can't prove from that Mishnah Rav Chanina did.
Because Rav Chanina
is saying a Ben Noach because it involves an upgrade, therefore he's potter.
Okay.
Rav Yochanan is saying that in that case, there's no upgrade, no downgrade. Her goof changed, sure, but the Mitzvah is still the same. So therefore, it's kind of it's like the case of the Ben Noach who was a Ritzeah, where before it was Saif and now it's Saif. And even Rav Chanina would agree to that.
And therefore, if it's the same.
So if it's the same, you don't have any proof one way or the other what you do if it was greater or lesser. So we can't prove. So we still can't prove Rav Chanina from it. But okay, we haven't disproved him either, and the halacha is kind of like. Okay. Mishnah says Ben Sora Ramota Nidin al Shem Sofer. The Ben Sora Ramota is getting judged because of what's going to happen in the end. Meaning, it's true right now, in principle, he hasn't done anything that in and of itself should make him chayiv misa, but the Torah is looking to the future. Yomus zakai val yomus chayiv. Better let him die when he's innocent rather than he should grow up and become even guiltier and then have to be chayiv misa. And by the way, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, actually, right after the story of the Ben Sora murder, the next thing the Pasuk says is, v'chiyiv v'ish chayiv mishpat moves for homos. So if you have a person who's chayiv misa and gets executed and hanged, so Rashi says, the smichus teaches us that if the parents have rachmanus on him and they don't bring him to Beis Din, he winds up going completely off, as the Gemara is going to say. He winds up doing averus, the taka make him chayiv misa, and the taka ends up getting executed. So therefore, the Torah would rather head it off at the pass. Now, they ask the question, what about, we know that the Eivishter judges a person basher rishon, the Eivishter judges a person as he is now. Tosfos talks about it elsewhere, in Rosh Hashanah, for example, various other mafoshim. Talk about it. There's a number of possibilities. One of them is, again, there's a difference between Dinei Shamayim and Dinei Adam. Dinei Shamayim, the Eivishter can judge a person as he is now without considering how he's going to be in the future. So the Beis Din Shalmata has the Torah is telling them over here that they have to look at the future. Another possibility is that when it says Basher Rosham, is the person himself is not yet a Rosha, at least that not of that caliber. The client, Basher Rosham, the original thing is Yishmael, is lying over there under the bush, starving of thirst, and the Malachim say to the Eibishter, you should let him die of thirst. Eventually his descendants are going to cause the Jewish people to die of thirst hundreds of years from now, and the Eibishter says, Basher Rosham, I judge him as he is now. Fine, at that point he wasn't that kind of Rosha yet. A shtickle Rosha, maybe, because he was making fun of Yitzchak and whatever, but he wasn't that caliber of Rosha yet. Whereas over here, he's already of a caliber of Rosha. That's it. Okay. Shemisfasim shor Roshoyim anola and banol oylam, because the death for Roshoyim is good for them. It did it. What?
Yeah, because they have
kapara. Yeah. Well, not just they have kapara, but this way they don't do more averus. They don't get themselves in deeper. So it's good for them, because it's good for their neshama. That way their neshama isn't quite so dirtied up. The hanol olam is good for the world, because that way the world is peaceful from their issues. Lot tzaddikim, on the other hand, the death of tzaddikim, rava hen rala olam, it's bad for them and bad for the world. They could have done more mitzvahs, and they protected their generation, and they gave people more. So, and now the world has lost them. Yayin v'sheinu l'rashayim, wine and sleep for rashayim, hanal lahen v'hanal l'olam, is good for them and good for the world. Because like we said yesterday, then that way they get drunk, and that way they're asleep, and that way they're not doing avedas, harming people. But tzaddikim, ra lahen v'ra l'olam, whereas for tzaddikim, it's good, it's bad for them, because it's taking them away from learning Torah, and it's bad for the world, because the Torah that they learn is protecting the generation, is protecting the people, all right? Kinnus for Roshoyim, when Roshoyim get together, when they have a gathering, Ralahan Ralah. What? you're right. I skipped a line. Sorry. Pizul Rishayim. When Rishayim are scattered, Hanala Hen Vanala, it's better for them because then they can't get together and make evil plots and help each other. So again, it prevents them from doing worse averus. Vanala Oilam, it's good for the world. But La Tzadikim, Rala Hen Vanala Oilam. On the other hand, when Tzadikim are scattered, it's bad for them and bad for the world. There's also an explanation that it means Hanala Pizul Rishayim, Hanala Hen, that they themselves are the type who like to be separated. They're themselves are the type who don't get along, and therefore they prefer to stay apart from each other. The Rishayim, that is. Pinus Rishayim, Rala Hen, Rala Oilam. When Rishayim gather together, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Well, Tzadikim, when Tzadikim get together, Hanala Hen, Hanala Oilam, it's good for them because they help out each other and they spark new ideas with each other. Hanala Oilam, and it's good for the world. Sheket l'Rishayim, when Rishayim are at peace, it's bad for them and bad for the world because then they have the time, then they have the peacefulness, and they have the peace of mind to be able to do evil things. Well, tzaddikim, quietness is good for peacefulness, is good for them and good for the world because then they have the ability to spend time learning Torah and mitzvah. Like the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Teshuva, that we know the Torah always talks about rewards in this world for mitzvahs and punishments in this world for avodas. So what is it? The real reward and punishment is in Olam Haba, but the Rambam explains over there the famous thing that what the Torah is saying is if people are doing good, then the Eved will make it peaceful, we'll have peace from our enemies, we'll have bumper crops, and so forth, and therefore we have, it's not the reward per se, but it gives us the ability to keep on learning more Torah and doing more mitzvahs, so that we can get higher in Allah, as opposed to by the Rishoyim, it's the other way around. It's this way they become Rishoyim, so then they end up having a hard time of it, and that way they're not going to have time. Well, they're not going to have time to do more Averis, but also on the other hand, it prevents them from doing Tshuva, and therefore, yeah. So that fits with over here. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rav Yosi,
we don't know it's how many Yerushalayim and how many Tzadikim come at the same time.
Yeah.
Leave at the same time.
Right, no. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rav Yosi agrei d'amar, what's the logic that this boy should be executed? Just because this boy ate a tartima of meat, and he drank a half a lug of Italian wine, the Torah says that he should go to Beis Din and get stoned. What's the logic? Rather, what it is the Torah realizes what's going to end up happening with this Ben Sora Ramoda, how he's going to end up developing. Eventually, he's going to run through all his father's money because he's going to keep on stealing it and using it for his taivus. So then he's going to want to continue his habits, his addiction. He's not going to find money for it. So he's going to go out to the crossroads and rob people and become a highwayman. Therefore, I'm returning to Yomos Zakai Val Yomos Chayim. So the question is, before a number of Mephoshim asked,
it could be judged and...
A number of Mephoshim ask a different question anyway. So let's say he becomes a robber. The maximum penalty that he could get is hereg if he kills people. Right. Why are you giving him skila? So they give a few different answers. One is he may well end up doing it on Shabbos as well. If he needs money to feed his habit, there's no reason why he would do it any different on Shabbos than on weekdays. Shabbos makes him chayek skila. Another answer is also because since he's stealing from his parents, that's almost the equivalent. He's giving them a bad name. It's almost the equivalent of cursing them. And we learned before, a person curses his parents. It's chayav skila. There's a few different reasons that are given. Okay. And the Braisa continues, basically, as our Mishnah said, Shemisothin shal tzadikim anola hem banola olam, because the death of tzadikim is good for them and good for the world, for Rishoyim, v'lo tzadikim, on the other hand, Shemisothin shal Rishoyim, I meant here, hanola hem banola olam, v'lo tzadikim, on the other hand, when a tzadik dies, ra'la hem v'ra'la olam, bad for them, bad for the world, sheinu v'yayim l'Rishoyim anola hem banola olam, sleep and wine are good for Rishoyim, are good for them and good for the world, v'lo tzadikim ra'la hem v'ra'la olam. So tzaddikim is bad for them, bad for the world. Sheket l'Rishayim, quietness for Rishayim, rala hem v'rala olam, is bad for them and bad for the world. V'lo tzaddikim hanola hem v'anola olam. Pizur l'Rishayim, when Rishayim are scattered, hanola hem v'anola olam. V'lo tzaddikim rala hem v'rala olam. Same thing as in our Mishnah, just in a slightly different order. Yeah. I'm sure there's probably a reason why the Gemara has to quote the entire Braisa, but yeah, okay. All right. Since we've talked now, so now we're done with the matter of Ben Sora Ramoda. Now we're going to go on to a different topic, which is going to take up most of the rest of the parish, which is the topic of our Mishnah, and then we're going to kind of segue into another topic. Our Mishnah and the Gemara on it is going to talk about another case of a person who's nidin al shem sofer, another case where a person is judged because of what's going to happen.
Was the only one.
Now we're going to see there's another. Hababa machteres. The Torah tells us that im machteres yimotzei aganav, if a ganav is found tunneling into a house, the hook of a mace, and he gets and then a machteres the tunnel, yeah. The hook of a mace, and he struck and killed. Ain loy domim, there's no blood guilt for him. In other words, the house owner is not chayv mitzvah for killing this guy.
About a Jewish guy,
yeah,
not Hamas.
Yeah, Hamas, I guess a little more so, but we're talking about a Jewish guy. So we're going to talk about our Gemara is going to talk about that. Our Mishnah and our Gemara are going to talk about that, and then after that, we're going to segue into a Baba Machteres is a type of Roidis. So therefore, that's going to segue into the concept of Roidis,
right.
And more generally, actually, that's going to bring us also in the Gemara towards the end of the parak is going to bring us into the concept of Yehorig Val Yavo. Very appropriate this time of year, when especially by Ne'ila, we say Shema Yisrael, we should have in mind to go on the Siddur Nefesh. No, I haven't. I'm going to do it tonight. By Bezer. So that's going to be the subject of the rest of this parak. Those subjects. So the Mishnah says, Hababa Machtera, so a ganav who's tunneling into a house, where the Torah says that the house owner can kill him. Nidin al shem sofer. He also gets judged because of the sofer. When you get down to it, why should we say that the house owner can kill him? Just give him what he wants, and that'll be that. The reason is ba shem sofer is because if the balabas tries to protect his possession, the robber is ready to kill him. So therefore, it's called hiter asmi l'mitzah. It's called that he made himself. He's able to be killed. And Rashi says on the pasuk, it's not like, I mean, in theory we should tell the householder, in theory we should tell the balabas, so fine, you know, give him what he wants. But the Torah realizes psychologically, a person's not going to do that. Somebody's demanding your stuff. Your natural instinct is not to give it all. Your natural instinct is to defend your property.
Without digging a tunnel, if he goes into his house to steal.
So we'll see in the Gemara the exact circumstances. It doesn't necessarily have to be that he's tunneling in, but it has to be. We'll see in the Gemara. The key thing is the reason to think that if he's opposed, he will kill. Now the next pasuk over there in Mishpatim continues. Im zorcha Hashem Hashalav, if the sun shone on him, domim loy, then there is blood guilt for killing him. In other words, the Baal Bos is not allowed to kill him. So what does it mean? Im zorcha Hashem Hashalav. We'll see in the Gemara. And also the Meforshim Rashi on the pasuk mentions a couple of possibilities that what it means. Basically, the bottom line is in Zorcha Hashem Hashalav, according to all the various possible explanations, it means that it's a situation where you know he's not going to kill. So some of the Meforshim say there may actually be a difference. So for example, our Gemara is going to give an example, which Rashi mentions in the pasuk. Let's say, for example, if it's a father breaking into his son's house. We know, fine, he may be doing it he wants to steal, or just, you know, he's a kleptomaniac, but not to kill. He's not going to kill his own son. So therefore, it's very rare.
Right.
So therefore, yeah. So that would be an example. Rashi mentions on the pasuk based on Targum Onkelos that it also means if there are Edim, the guy's not going to be, he's not going to try killing when he knows there's Edim. So there's that. Some of the Meforshim do say it may be a difference between day and night. By day, people will see him, therefore will be more afraid to, whatever. So, the mission continues. Hoya Baba Machteres, what if this guy is tunneling in or breaking into the house, the Shavar Asachavis, and in the course of doing so, he broke a barrel of wine, is he chayev to pay for it? It depends. If yesh le jamim, if it's a case where the balabas is not allowed to kill him, for example, the case that we just mentioned where it's a father breaking into his son's house and the son is not allowed to kill him because we know the father is not coming to kill the son in the first place, then he's a mazik. Then he's like any other mazik. He's chayev to pay. Im ein lo domin, but if it's the case where the balabas is entitled to kill him, then he's potter because then kam le b'dirabimineh. It's kam le b'dirabimineh. And by the way, Rashi says even if he doesn't end up getting killed, even if he makes it out of there alive, nevertheless, though, we still say the same logic as we say when it comes to kam le b'dirabimineh, that even if the guy is not actually chayev mitzvah, let's say he did it for shogig, nevertheless, he's potter from the tashlumin. Same logic over here. So Gemara says, Omar Rav, my time of the Machteres, what is the reason behind the concept of Machteres, that the Torah is saying the Balabas is allowed to kill the robber? Why don't we just say that he just give him what he wants and nobody has to get killed? The reason is, Chazaka, that's what we were saying before, Chazaka ain't not a mam and asma al-mamayna. The Torah knows, as a Chazaka, a person is not going to hold himself back when it comes to his money. He's not going to see somebody else taking his stuff and just be quiet. So he's going to try to defend it. V'hai meima omar, therefore, the ganav therefore thinks to himself, when he first goes to do his gneva, I azilna, if I go to try and steal from him, koi lapoi, he's going to stand up against me, v'loshovikli, he's not going to let me do it, and therefore he figures, koi lapoi, so if he stands up against me, katomalai, I'll kill him. So the ganav comes ready to kill. Therefore, v'atoda omrim bala hoga ha'ashkin mohoga. And therefore, the Torah says, if somebody is coming to kill you, get up early and kill him first. So therefore, that the Torah is saying, ein lo domim, he's coming with intent to kill, therefore you are allowed to kill him. And by the way, it's even a little bit different than the usual case of roidif. The usual case of roidif, we talk...
The Torah tells you to kill, not you're allowed.
No, you don't have to. If you want to give him, what if you want to give him, or if you want to let him get away with it, if you want to stand there and show him that you're armed or whatever, and he'll turn away and run, fine. But you're allowed to. Ein lo domim, you're not liable for the tzicha if you kill him. It's not called the tzicha yet. And by the way, this is a little bit different even than the regular case of Roidif. The regular case of Roidif, we learned before in the story of Yoyev, we're going to learn later on, that you have the concept, you first try to prevent him by wounding him in one of his limbs, his arm, his leg, or whatever. Only if that doesn't work are you allowed to kill him. Here by the Bava Machteret, you don't have that. You're not obligated to try and be, to try and Lahatzila Be'echad Me'evorov. You can go straight for the jugular.
Because it's
an emergency situation. You don't have the presence of mind to be able to try anything. Okay. Fine. Omer Rav, Habava Machteres for not Okelem B'yot. So what happens? Somebody is Bava Machteres. He's literally tunneling into the house, and he stole Kalim B'yot, and then he left without the Balabos killing him.
Right.
Potter, then he is Potter from having to return that. The Ganev is Potter from returning those things. He's potter from returning those things, even if they still exist, even if he hasn't sold them yet or whatever. My timer, the domim kananu, because he acquired them at the cost of his own life. Since by taking them he became chayav misa, because he was a baba machteres, he effectively paid for them with his own life. He didn't get killed. Okay, he didn't get killed, but nevertheless. That's the logic, because he would have been killed. He risked his life, so therefore that's it. He was koinan on that basis. He was chayiv misa.
Where do we take that from?
Omar Rava. So Rava says on this, mistabra milse de Rav v'sheshibir. I can understand the logic that Rav would be saying this if he broke the keli later. Namely, in other words, if he broke it, he's not going to return the actual.
He steals the keli.
He breaks it. One second. Hold on. The logic would be like this. The actual keli itself can't be returned anymore.
Because it's broken.
What would you be making him pay? Money. Well, you can't be making him pay money where he was already in a case where he was chayav misa. It's like kum lebe d'rav aminei, basically. It is kum lebe d'rav aminei. Because he put himself in a situation where he's chayav misa, therefore you can't make him pay out of his own pocket for this. So it's logical to say that. Avon not aloi, but l'chura, the logic would be that Rav would not say he's potter if he just took kalim and they still exist. Wherever they are, they still belong to their owner, l'chora. It's not a matter of tashlumin. It's almost like it's a pekodin by him, and he should have to return it. However, even though that's logical, v'ha'elekim, I swear in the Eibishter's name, says Rava, Omer Rav afilu notal. No, Rav does say his statement that he's potter even if the kalim actually exists. Why? D'hod yesh lo damim v'nansu chayef. Because we have a case like this. What if yesh lo damim? What happens if
you steal a thing that's worth millions of dollars and he's potter?
Doesn't mean, for example, the Beis Din can't bring him and give him petch or whatever, but technically he's potter from repaying it. Beis Din should have to do something to him to prevent him from doing such a thing again.
When you steal, you're hired.
Ordinarily, but here where he's stealing in a way that makes him chayav misa.
The
difference is that here he did it in a way that makes him chayav misa. If he did it in a way, Tosfos actually talks it over here, for example. Let's say, for example, he stole it off the guy's roof or chotzer or whatever. He's not a baba machteres. He doesn't expect the owner to be there. Therefore, he's not coming to kill l'chatchila. Or as Rashi's going to say now on our Gemara over here, let's say, again, it's a father breaking into his son's house where there's no reason to think that he's coming to kill. In those cases, he'd be chayav to pay. So what's the logic? Because let's consider the case. What if yesh lo damim? What if it's a case where the balabas is not allowed to kill the ganav? For example, again, the ganav is his own father. And the nansu.
When we say yeshla damim.
Yeshla damim literally means there is blood, meaning in other words, he's considered a human being, and if you spill his blood, if you kill him, then you chayav nisa. As opposed to aimle damim from the previous pasuk, habam machter, aimle damim, he has no blood, in other words, if he's a dead man, right? And you're not chayav nisa for killing him. So, let's consider the case. Yeshla damim. Suppose that it's a father breaking into his son's house. Yeshla damim, the son is not allowed to kill him. Because he knows the father is not coming to kill him, and therefore there's no habalacha lahor v'cha hashkin lahor. V'nansu. Now, what would happen, therefore, if the father then stole these kalim, and let's say, for example, even there was an oynes afterwards, he would be chayav. So, meaning in other words, now, if we said that it was considered a pikadon, a shomer for a pikadon is potter for an oynes. Instead, we don't say that. We say that it's considered in his rishus, it's considered that he was koineh, and therefore he's chayav, just like as if he had borrowed it or something, which they were then he's chayav for oynes.
What should he be
so there, no, so even though it exists, therefore the logic is even if it exists, we don't. So when it exists, we still don't say it's a pikadon. We still say it's considered in his rishus. So therefore, if Beis Din were to take it back from him, it's the equivalent of taking something out of his rishus, and you can't do that. So therefore, yeshle jamim. So therefore, if yeshle jamim v'nansu, and if the onus happened to the object, he would be chayev to pay for it. Al of rishus ekaimi. That shows that we consider the object to be completely in his rishus. We don't say that he's holding it as a pikadon for the owner. We say it's considered as if he bought it or whatever, not bought it, whatever. As if it completely came into his rishus, as if it's actually part of his possession, and now he's chayev for it. Well then, when it comes to the Einloy Domim case, you should say the same logic. It's considered as if it's in his rishus. It's considered in his rishus. Therefore, even if the object itself actually exists, then we can't take it away from him by the same logic, because it's in his rishus. He bought it at the cost of his life. When it comes to the Yeshle Jomim, there's no life involved.
Right.
Therefore, we say he's completely koinet, and he's chayev to pay it back no matter what happens to it, whether it exists, whether it doesn't exist, or whatever. By the same logic in reverse, by the Einloy Jomim, we would say that he buys it from, it's considered as if he bought it completely. Therefore, he's not chayev, not if it broke and he's been, we're talking about the value, right, and not for the actual thing itself.
And therefore?
And Rava continues, Veloihi. And Rava continues. However, I don't accept Rav Svara when it comes to that. I don't accept Rav Svara to say that even though I'm swearing by the Eibishter's name that Rav did say it in both cases, I don't accept Rav Svara in that second case where the object still exists. Because when would you say the Torah puts it in his rishus l'inyan oinsin? When it comes to oinus, the Torah is making it in his rishus as far as to be machmer on him, to say that he's going to have to pay for it. Avol inyan mikna, but for the fact of being koine, to say that he should be koine and he shouldn't have to pay it back.
If there's an oinus,
then yes, you say it's in his rishus. You say that you don't consider him to be like a shema chinam or a shema sacha or whatever. You consider him to be like a shoyl and make him pay for oinsin. Or you actually, Rashi says, it's not even a matter of a shoyl. Rashi says it's considered shlichus yad. We know we learned back in Bava Metzia that if a shoma of any kind does shlichus yad, he misappropriates the thing that he was supposed to be guarding. He's considered a goblin. From then on, he's chayv and oinsin. Here, the same logic would apply. So therefore, he's chayv for oinsin. But for him to be koinet, to say that if it still exists by him and say I should be able to keep it and just return you the value of it. No, loikani. We don't say we should say that no, it remains in its owner's rishus because you can't consider him more than a shoyal. A shoyal still has to return the actual item that he borrowed. He can't say I'll keep it and return you the value. You can't consider this guy to be less than a shoyal. Because he's no less than a shoyl. A shoyl has to return the actual object. On the other hand, a shoyl is chayv and oinsin. Fine. This guy would be the same kind of thing. There was an oinus, we'll make him pay for it. But to say that he should be koinet and return the value of it if he wants, that's not. So he wants to snap. Okay, let's look in our Mishnah and see if we can use it in one way or the other of this argument. Baba Machteres, the Mishnah says that if the Ganav tunnels into the house, the Shiver is a Chavit, and he breaks a barrel of wine on the way, Yesh le Jamim Chayev, Ein le Jamim Potter. So if it's the case where you're not allowed to, where the Balapos is not allowed to kill him, then he's Chayev to pay it, like any Mazik. But if Yesh le Jamim, then he's Potter. Implying time of the Shiver, the Kiyem le Jamim Potter. Implying why is the Mishnah saying that he's Potter? Dafke, because he broke it. And we're talking about the question of paying it back. Han Notal, implying the Mishnah Lechora seems to be implying that if a Ganev had taken the barrel, like, then we would say that not. We wouldn't make that distinction. So therefore,
if he broke it,
you would say that he's potter from paying because come live with the rabbi. But if you're saying that the implication is that if it still exists, then that doesn't work, then he's still chayav to return it. That works according to Rava. That doesn't work according to Rav, who said that the same din would apply in both cases. No, the answer is no. Who had din dafilu not on nami? No, the Mishnah. No, it could still apply. It could still work according to Rav. The Mishnah could be talking about even if he actually took the barrel, he would still the same din would apply that if ein lo damim he would be potter. The hodik katani shavar as a chavis. The reason why the Mishnah specifically mentioned the case where he broke the barrel, kamash malan. The chiddush of the Mishnah is deki yesh lo damim faker. The point of the Mishnah is the chiddush is that if yesh lo damim, if it's a case where you're not allowed to kill the ganav, af agav de shiver nami chayim. Even if he broke. You see, the point is, even if he broke the barrel, you still make him chayiv for it. So the question is, pshita maziku? Of course he's chayiv, he's a mazik. Why should we think otherwise? The answer is, hakamash mo, not for the shaloi b'kavana. Fine. The answer is, even if he broke it, not intending to break it. He just meant to steal. He didn't mean to break anything. Okay, the question still is, my kamash mo on the moored loilam. So what are you telling me? A person is always moored. A person, even if he didn't... So what would be the chiddush then? That even if he didn't mean to, he's still chayiv for the nezek? We know that. Tanena, we learn in a mission in Baba Kama. On the moored loilam, ben b'shogi, ben b'mezid. Ben Ba'onis, Ben Ba'odson.
It doesn't go by
what he's saying. Okay, Kasha. Okay, it's a Kasha. Rav could understand the Mishnah that way, but he would be left with the question, why does the Mishnah need to tell us that if it's obvious based on the din of Adam Mordlala? Okay, nevertheless, we could at least understand the Mishnah that way, that whether he broke it or whether he took it, if Ein Lo Damim is Potter, if Yesh Lo Damim is Chayev, and so it's no contradiction, it's not necessarily a contradiction against Rav.
It's a
kasha. It's a kasha, but not a tsuvta. It's not an upshlon. Okay. So we continue tomorrow. That's the shame.